Hey, welcome back, Wawa Land. We have got a ton to discuss with our next studio, or with our next guest live in studio. We've actually got Senator Mike Braun. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good to be back here.
Yeah, thanks for popping by. I got to ask, what are you doing in Fort Wayne?
Well, when I'm on a break, I don't take a congressional delegation overseas. I come back to Indiana, pledge to visit all 92 counties, and I do that every year. We're over halfway through. I also am running for governor of Indiana, and you mix in a little of that, mm-hmm. and that's going well. There's so much going on out east in D.C., and when you see it up close like I do every day and fight, you know, for our values here and have to deal with that, it keeps you busy.
I'd say so.
I'm lucky I go to bed late and get up early because you need it in this job.
Yeah, sounds exhausting. I do want to talk about your run for governor, but before we get there, let's start out on the East Coast and start in D.C. Let's talk about the debt limit. Plain and simple, what on earth is going on? What are some of the sticking points here?
So when you come from my world of having to balance a budget from the day you stuck your neck out into the real world, I did that 37 years running a little business that grew into a national company. It's hard to imagine that you deal with these kinds of issues. State and local governments don't have that printing press in the basement, the Fed. They don't have a credit card that regardless, think about it in your business, say doing $1 million a year, you lose $300,000. That is where our federal government is. When I got there 4.5 years ago, $18 trillion in debt, now nearing 32. Borrowing 20 cents on every dollar then, now up to 30. It's going to end with things like the Medicare Trust Fund going bust in 4 years, Social Security. We'll probably borrow the money to backfill it, not to mention that interest will be crowding out all the discretionary part of our budget. It's a lack of discipline. You can avoid all of this. This is the first kind of salvo across the bow of something different. We haven't done a budget in over 20 years. Now the budget...
That's amazing.
Yeah, the budget committee for the last 2 years run by Bernie Sanders, now by Sheldon Whitehouse, and we haven't done any budget mechanics. Both sides are guilty. The defense neocon hawks on our side end up making a deal with all the Democrats, and we borrow all this money each year. It was $1 trillion a year when I got there. It's now up to $2 trillion. And that's a bad business plan for our country. And sooner or later, those chickens will come home to roost.
Do you foresee both sides, though, being able to come together and actually hash out some kind of deal?
Yes, but what I'm worried about, Leader McConnell was on TV earlier today saying there won't be a default. I don't think there will be. This is just more drama than normal, which we needed. It's the fiscal conservatives in the House that have told Kevin McCarthy, we're going to do this, lead us on it, or there can be repercussions. So at least we've got that dynamic different. But my observation is when we have moments of discipline, we want to do something different, it unravels pretty quickly. We need term limits. We need a balanced budget amendment. I think otherwise we're going to keep running into where there's more real pain, and it's like going through a Chapter 11 in the real world, if you're lucky, because then you got to make those hard decisions. I don't think we're there yet. And this is just knocking back $20 trillion in debt that the Biden administration says will be adding to the $32 trillion up to about $52 trillion. And the House plan cuts it back by $5 trillion. So you got a lot more you need to do, and you need to do it each year a little bit at a time. Guys like me, Rand Paul, Mike Lee, we talk about it all the time. I took a privileged motion to the floor to balance a budget over 10 years and had 14 Republicans vote against it.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that. I want to move on because I do want to touch on, obviously, your campaign for governor, because I have been dying to ask you this question. I'm dying to know, what was the thought process and how hard it was for you to decide not to seek re-election in the Senate? Because let's be honest, you would have been a shoo-in here in Indiana.
That's true.
I mean, we know that,
right? So
What went into that thought process, and why did you decide not to seek re-election and instead run for governor?
So in the 37 years I spent in the real world, 3 years I actually worked for somebody else, but most of that was managing my own business. It took a long time to take off, but if you were good at it, you picked the right fork in the road. You look at where the best marginal opportunity was ahead of you. And if you did get good at it, and you followed the other principles of reinvesting every penny, keeping your overhead low, mm-hmm. good things come to you in the long run. Here, as hard as I worked, starting with 1% in the first poll back in, sometime try explaining that to your wife and family. They thought I needed to have my head examined, but Trump won the state by 19 points in 16, did it again by 16 points in 20. Whatever you think of him, he was the guy that was the manifestation, half the country fed up with business as usual in D.C. I've had the gift of seeing ahead a little bit, and we've just talked about it. It's going to get worse before it gets better. Saw some things in my own state with extended shutdowns. You know, even how we manage our own finances here, and we have good cash flow. What if you have a entrepreneur, business owner that was on a school board 10 years, 3 years a state legislator, and now the tutorial of knowing how the federal government works? Thought there was more opportunity to come back and take our state to the next level rather than be part of something that's going to get worse before it gets better. I wasn't going to do it more than two terms anyway. Yeah. That's what went into it.
So in other words, from what I'm hearing you say is that you are going to be able to have more impact potentially as a governor than as a U.S. senator.
We were just touted as the most effective senator for legislation of substance over the last 4 years of any senator that's come into it. And five or six competing with the ones that have been there for decades that get all their legislation through committees that they run. So it would beg the question, why not stay there and put more of that you've learned into it? Doesn't make any difference. The agenda items, the big tickets, like reforming health care, getting a better bang out of our buck for education, affordable housing, rural broadband, I can set that agenda and take the entrepreneurial skills to get real action here in our state.
Well, best of luck. If folks want to learn more about you and your campaign as you're hitting all 92 counties here, where can folks do that?
Go to Mike Braun for Indiana, and you can see what we're running on. Go to my Senate account, and you can see what we've accomplished over the last 4.5 years.
I wish we had more time. I feel like I could talk to you forever, but
we'll come back again.
Okay, I'm going to hold you to that. That's Senator Mike Braun, or as I like to call him, the money man, appearing live here on WoWo.
Podcasts by Federated Media.